A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Very good morning to you, Namibia. So I hope you are doing very well this morning. And how was your weekend? I hope it was, blessed weekend or wonderful weekend or a blessed weekend. And are you ready for the last week of the month? So good morning to you. It's a Monday morning, the 25th of August, 2025. So my name is Mike Oishovili and welcome to Eagle FM. And this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in what is going on in business, economics, agriculture, and politics. So every weekdays, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark the meaningful conversation, so you can be part of the bigger conversations. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So you are welcome and good morning to you. It's a Monday morning. Are you ready for the day today? So 25th of August, the year 2025. So let's get to our first segment of Unpacking the Day. This day, on this day in Africa, there isn't much happening. There is much significant event actually took place on this day. They are quiet, but more significant actually. So on the 25th of August, 1975, this is amid the rising tension in Southern Africa. The Prime Minister of Rhodesia, Ian Smith, at that time, met with Bishop Abel Muzorewa of the African National Council aboard a railway car on the Victoria Falls Bridge. So this attempt to defuse a looming racial conflict backed by South African and Zambian leader, and well, it ended unsuccessfully. So in South Africa, on the 25th of August in 1993, Ami Biel, this is a US-born anti-apartheid activist working in South Africa, was tragically murdered in Cape Town. So her death shocked the nation and highlighted the intense tension during the final years of apartheid. So basically, those are the two significant events we have on the 25th of August on this day in Africa. So good morning and welcome. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and you are tuned in Unpacking the Day. So now, Monday, what is our thought for the day? Our thought for the day today is, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. A fool take no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So the proverb comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verses 2 in the Bible. So this proverb highlights the the attitude of a foolish person who prefer to speak rather than listen. And a wise person seeks to understand, to listen, and to learn. A fool is only interested in expressing their own thoughts and opinion. So the proverb is a call to practice humility, to listen, reflect, and learn before speaking. So a wise approach values dialogue over monologue. So that's our thought for the day. The fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So hopefully that thought of the day guides you and help you in the decision and choices that you make today, that you are more interested in seeking understanding and listening and to learn rather than just expressing your own thoughts and opinion. So, all right, all the best for the day. So, and good morning if you just are joining us. So, what we can expect today, what we can expect today in our on our program, on our show. So we have some interesting, very interesting. We have some interesting articles. One in the Villager, in the today's Villager, today's edition of the Villagers. Very interesting on national budget, which talked about national budget and procurement too rigid to fund green schemes. So please make sure that you remain tuned because we're going to get into that. So the 9th Tokyo International Conference on Africa Development, there is an article which I found very interesting. It's looking at a different perspective of the conference. So and the title of the article is Strategic Partnership or a Fragmented Engagement. Is the 9th Tokyo International Conference on Africa Development, was it a strategic partnership or a fragmented engagement? There are really, really interesting aspects in the article that I want us to look at, and also maybe some that we can challenge also the author of the article, which might not also, you know, right. We're going to look at that and stay tuned for that as well and for your engagement as well. So, and with also the 9th Tokyo International Conference on African Development, the UN Secretary General Guterres urges Africa to play more active role in global governance. And then I asked the question. So put your money where your mouth is, because the UN Security Council, are we on the table on that? On that group of countries. So yeah, if we have time, I think we're gonna challenge that, the speech of the UN Secretary General Guterres, to see whether his money is where his mouth is. So if we have time, we're going to go into that as well. So as you can see, stay tuned, because we got quite interesting, you know, on the show coming up in a very short time. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Very good morning. If you're just joining us, our time is 13 minutes past the hour of 8. And you are on Eagle FM. You are tuned in Eagle FM on Unpacking the Day. And please do stay with Eagle FM. Stay with us and stay connected to Eagle FM, actually. So, and you can do that by staying connected by downloading our Eagle FM app, and so that wherever you are, if you're not actually hearing us on the radio, please, this is another way you can continue to listen, or you can continue to stay connected to Eagle FM anywhere, anytime, wherever you are. So especially people who are on the go, I think that's the way to go. Download the Eagle FM mobile app, and you can download that from Google Play and or Play Store, you know. And as I said, as I always said, you know, there are so many features you can actually have on. That's the advantage having actually the Eagle FM mobile app. You have news and schedules also when actually your favorite program is coming. You have actually podcast there. You don't need to listen to me now. You can always listen later on, but I want you to listen now. So don't go away. So yeah, so vacancies are there. There's so many reports and updates. So make sure that download the Eagle FM app. Today is Monday. And if you really, really, if you're looking for, the latest business or economic news, now get yourself a free copy of The Villager, by simply sending a WhatsApp message, with your name and email, to 081-241-44. And be sure to save that number as well, so that we don't become your spam in your email or on your phone. So The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe and receive a free copy of The Villager. So, and do follow us. Please do follow us on Eagle FM. And The Villager, follow us on our social media platforms, on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, and all the rest. So make sure you also engage with us. You know, leave a like, leave a comment, and be more engaging with us. We want your feedback as well on some of the things that we're putting on there. So give us some feedback as well. So we like to hear from you. So get in touch with our business people as well. If you want to advertise your business or your event or function or workshop or conference, get in touch with our office, 083-288-400. 083-288-400. 0. So, yeah. And get to a lady then that, and probably guys as well, to our marketing department that will be able to get in touch with, to help you. All right. Welcome. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and you're tuning into Unpacking the Day. So, and it's your host, Mike Oshoveni, live with you in the Ondangwa studio. We are here, as we say, to cut through this noise and to look at the stories making headlines and ask the questions that matter to you. You, the person on the street, in the office, and probably on the farm or somewhere in the rural area. So that's what we do. So this morning, we are going to focus on food, or food on our tables, and the money in our national wallet. That's where we're going to focus. We're talking about our green schemes. So there is a story in today's edition of The Villager, the e-newspaper, and I ask you to subscribe so that you can read for yourself the more detail that are in the newspaper. So the story is by Nino Menmavali Hangala. There's a story and that's where we focus today. So the story, it caught my attention. So the headline says, our national budget, our procurement laws are too rigid to properly fund this massive farming project. So let's create a scenario. Let me create a scenario for you that I'm going to use later on. So now, you are a farmer and you know that in September, just so that we will understand what is this story all about. So you will understand what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to paint. Okay. You are a farmer. You know that in September, you need to plant your seeds. So you need fertilizer, you need diesel for the tractor, and you need it all ready to go by September. And one thing is that you can't tell the rain to wait if you don't have it ready, so the rain will just come, you know. So you can't ask the sun to hold off, you know, of the rain and all what naturally should happen. So agriculture works on God's time, on nature's clock. All right. So now imagine you are the government. Okay. You are the government running these giant farms called green schemes. So the Ministry of Agriculture is basically saying that their hands are tied. You know, tight, not tired. Tight. Their hands are tight. So they are telling us that the government's own rule book, their own rule book, the way money is given out and the way they have to buy things is just too slow and stiff for farming. That's what the Ministry of Agriculture is saying in this story, in this article. It's saying the way money is actually given out and the way they have to buy things is too slow and too stiff for farming. So that's what they say. And they say that the money for things like seed and fertilizer often arrives late, after the planting window has already started to close. So because of this, they had to call it an emergency just to buy the basic on time. So Their argument is actually simple. Argument is quite simple. If they waited for the normal slow process, we would have a terrible harvest, that they said, and that would threaten our national food security. Now, and they say now, to try and fix this, they are now looking at signing a three-year contract with the suppliers. So that's what they're trying now to say. Now, to try to fix that problem, so they would sign a three-year contract with suppliers. So the idea is to have a company on a standby, ready to deliver whenever the green schemes need inputs, whatever input they need. So, and they have got some, well, and they have got some, say, they have got some numbers actually to back up their efforts. So they have got some numbers to back up their efforts. So since the ministry took over now from the failed state-owned company, Agricultural Business Development Agency, Agribusdef, is that how it's pronounced? Agribusdef, in short. So since the government actually, the ministry took over from Agribusdef, from the Agricultural Business Development Agency, and maybe just to give you a bit of what is this Agricultural Business Development Agency. This was actually established on November 3rd, 2011, as a Section 21 company under the Company Act 2004. So now the Agribusdef, if that's how we call Agricultural Business Development Agency, its primary mandate is to monitor and create an ideal environment. So this was how it was developed. It was actually to create an ideal environment for achieving the objectives of the Green Scheme policy of 2008. So the company manages and supervises Green Scheme projects, which are government-established agriculture projects aimed at increasing agronomic production through a large-scale irrigation farming. So now, so that's what Agribusdef is all about, and its aim was about. So now, since the ministry now took, and they failed, so then the ministry took over. So now, since the ministry took over from the failed state-owned company, they say maize production has shot up impressively. So they say the maize the production has really shot up, has increased impressively. But also, on the other hand, wheat production has also dropped significantly. So the maize went up and the production has dropped significantly as well. So the wheat production. So now, they blame the higher cost of imported seed and fertilizer for the wheat problems. For the wheat problem, they said, well, it's because of the imported seed and fertilizers, and also pointed to some operational delays, as we mentioned earlier on. So that is the official story. A government ministry try its best to make our green schemes work, but being held back by its own government's red tape, you know? And it sounds reasonable, right? That sounds actually reasonable. Now, well, this is Unpacking the Day, and we don't just read the story, we unpack it. So we peel back the layers. So after the break, we ask the hard question. Is this really a problem with the rules, or is it a problem with planning? Stay with us. We'll be back in a short while.
Omutiha would take it off a matina omjo. Chicago Shafa and Anna longishifa, yes, you get Moshiwana. E Moyao, or Tango Gotisamwene. Anna Gishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, or Jika. Tseithane na omayakuro ni Randi Thoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimeleha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi paregi uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo lengera Selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM.
All right. So welcome back. So welcome back to Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM. So now before the break, we laid out the Ministry of Agriculture position on the green schemes. All right. They say the system is too rigid, but let's put on our investigative hat, you know, or unpacking hat. Let's put on our unpacking hat and look at this from a few different angles. There are a few different angles that we can look at. All right. So first, let's talk about this emergency procurement. Okay. So now this emergency procurement, the word emergency suggests something unexpected. When we talk about emergency, we're talking about something that is unexpected, a sudden crisis, isn't it? So, but let me ask you a simple question, a very simple one. Is the planting season in Namibia an emergency? Is a planting season an emergency, really? Does it sneak up on us? Does that planting season sneak up on us every year without really warning? Does it do that? Of course not. So the planting season, it doesn't sneak up to have emergency, really. So we know exactly when we need to plant maize. We know when it's time for wheat. It is the most predictable calendar in the world. We know. So, if you know for a full year that you will need to buy seed in September, why are you only getting the money in September and calling it an emergency? Let's go to the break quickly.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
My friend, why do...
All right, welcome back. So now, we were asking, I was talking about this emergency procurement. Okay, that we exactly know when is the time for to plant maize, when is exactly the time for wheat, and as I said, this is the most predictable calendar, in the world. We know. So we know when is the planting season. There's no, in Namibia, there's no emergency when it comes to planting seasons. We know exactly. So, and he said, if you know a full year that you will need to buy seed in September, why are you only getting the money now in September and calling it an emergency? Now you want to just get money in September, get it in September and call it an emergency. So, and this feel less, I think this feel less like a system failure and more like a planning failure, as I said at the beginning. So it's a planning failure rather than maybe a system failure. So is the ministry not submitting its budget request on time? If you are submitting your budget on time, is it the Treasury not releasing the fund early enough for now to create this, emergency procurement? So, and using the emergency procurement repeatedly for a predictable event is a massive red flag. That's already a massive red flag. Why? Because emergency rules only bypass your normal check and balance. So it bypass your normal check and balance, which are designed to prevent corruption and ensure that we get the best practices. I mean, we get the best price from the quotation or whatever the case may be. So in itself already, that emergency procurement, when you now do that on things that is predictable, as I said, planting season is predictable. When you do it now on something that is predictable, it actually becomes really a red flag. So, and now you bypass your normal check and balances. And your check and balances are the one, it actually designed to prevent things like corruption. So, and actually get the best. You know, when you do emergency, you just go for someone who can be able to help you quickly, no matter how much they charge. So first it's designed to prevent corruption and also ensure that we get the right price or the best price. So now when you hear this now, you kind of like, is this a genuine cry for help? Or is it a convenient excuse to sidestep accountability? I'm putting the question out there. So is this a genuine cry for help? And you can share that when you come through, when I open the line. Is this a genuine cry for help from the ministry? Or is it a convenient excuse to sideline accountability? And I'm, as I said, you know, let's discuss that as well. So now let's challenge their main point, blaming the Public Procurement Act. Okay, that's their main act. So their main point. So this act was created for a reason. All right, the act was created for a reason. We all remember the stories of inflated tenders and dodgy deals. So the act is there to make sure taxpayers' money is spent transparently and fairly. That's the reason why the act is there. The act is created. So it's actually to make sure that taxpayers' money is spent transparently and also fairly. So when a ministry say the rule designed to protect public money, the rule designed to protect public money are getting in the way of their work, we have to be a little bit of skeptical here. So when now you're saying that, okay, this, you know, this public act, this procurement act, which is actually designed to protect, you know, to help you to be a little bit, to be transparent and fair. So now you said this rule designed to protect public money are getting in the way of their work. Yeah? So that raised a little bit of skepticism, or that raised a little bit of your little part of your brain goes ding dong. Yeah? What is going on here? Now, you also think also this. Do you think now the alternative is best? Is the alternative to weaken the rule? Is now the alternative to weaken the rule? That's what you're asking. To go back to a system where there is less oversight, where there is nobody, you know, where there is less transparency. I don't think any Namibian wants that. I don't think there's any Namibian who wants that. So now the challenge for the ministry is not to complain about the rules. So it's not to complain. It's not to complain about the rules, but to adapt their own internal planning to work within them. Huh? So a war, this from the any organization anyway, I think of any a well-run organization should be able to focus its need 12 to 18 months. This is a ministry that we're talking about. So we should be able to, you know, to focus your needs 12 to 18 months in advance. And then follow the proper procurement process. So that's what it should happen. The problem is the internal planning. It has nothing to do with the procurement. So, and know how far that actually take. If, say, for example, we know, you must have to understand the process, then your own system within the government. So if I know it takes 3 months or it takes 4 months, take what I've then, you know, procure earlier. So because everybody within the system understand how much that's going to take. So, and as I said, this is nothing really. You are, as the what the minister is asking, as other things that we're looking at, I don't think we want that. We want that we bypass, you know, the check and balances, as I said. So, and let's move on to the production numbers, because the article also give us some numbers. So the ministry is also celebrating a big jump in maize production, as I talked earlier about the maize production that is actually going up once they took off from that failing state-owned company. So, and yes, when you look at the number, when on the face value, that sounds like a really great news. You understand? When I read the tons that is actually in the article, so it's kind of like, well, that's really good, you know. And me as a journalist now is looking at, okay, but that require a little bit of a context. So it require a little bit of a context, not from the article itself, but from the ministry. You know, when you're looking at, okay, this celebration, I'm kind of like, okay, I hear that, but it requires a little bit of a context. Now, the 82% increase from, now you're talking about 82% increase. Now, that's a problem I have, and that's also sometimes a problem I have with the government when they report. So they report saying, you know, we have done a lot, we have actually, which in some cases could be true. So we have done a lot, we have built this, we have done that and that, but you don't give what was the target. So if you were in, if it's a certain quarter you were supposed to build, if in a certain year, let's say for example, in a certain year you were supposed to build 5 clinic, just an example, and you only build 1. Now when you tell me you build 1, I kind of like, okay, that's great. But you have failed because you're supposed to actually build 5. So what is the target? And the same here, when you hear, no, 82 increase from what? From the disastrous low level under the failing Agribus Def, or whatever however it's called, Agribus Def. Yeah, that's the abbreviation, Agribus Def. Is it from that? It leaves you without any information. 82% will say, wow. Okay, but from what? Then you kind of like, okay, that's great. So, and in the article, there's being better than, there's a word better than a total failure. So that also isn't necessarily a sign for great success. The most important number, and there's also a most important number that is actually missing from the article. Okay? There's one important number that is also missing from the article, And from this report, if you like, not necessarily the articles, but from this report, and that's actually the cost. How much did it cost us, the taxpayer, to produce that 15,430 metric tons of maize? How much did it cost us? Am I only one who sees this? Because if we spend, for example, if I spend 100 million to produce an 80 million worth of maize, we haven't made a profit. So even if we have increased from a previous failure, from someone who was failing earlier, but if I have spent 100,000 to produce an 80 million worth of maize, I haven't made profit. That's not a success story. That's not a great success. There is an increase in terms of what I produce, but I haven't made profit from what I spent. A cost to sale. Yeah? So that means we have subsidized a loss. From financial point of view, we have subsidized a loss. So without the financial figures, a production figure is just a number. In my opinion, it's just a number. Without really a production, without a financial cost, a financial figures, no, when you indicate the production figure, it's just a number, because you have to, you know, value it with financial figures. So it doesn't tell us if the schemes are viable or maybe just an expensive national exercise by the government. So financial figure tells us, okay, then the schemes are viable, because we're making profit. That's a very important number that is missing for us now to assess whether the schemes are viable, are successful or not. So we continue after this quickly.
What does financial inclusion look like in Namibia and Africa at large? Tune into Financially Included, where money meets access. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM to hear about the different opportunities, services, and methods that foster financial inclusion in the country and the continent at large. Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
So welcome back. Now, let's go to another. We talked about earlier on that the wheat production actually went down. So what about now the drop in wheat production? Okay, let's look at also that. Now, the ministry blame higher input cost. Okay, so that that's a global issue. To be fair, that's actually a global issue. It's not only an issue in Namibia. So when it comes to fertilizers, all these kind of things. Now, but they also admit in the article, they also admit that at one scheme, late maize harvesting delayed the wheat planting. The late maize harvesting actually delayed the wheat planting. So that is not a global issue. That's not a global issue. That is 100% local operational management issue. Eh? It is a planning problem again. Do you understand? It's another problem. It's another planning problem again. So you can tell as well that. And let's also look at what the private sector is telling us. Okay? And then I would allow you, let's finally look at that. That's also another aspect in the article. Now, the ministry offered six of these big projects to private investors, only to attract really interest with only two that have attracted a real interest. Out of six, only two attracted a real interest. Now, what does that tell you? So what does that tell you? It tells you that smart business people looked at other four schemes and say, well, no, but thank you. But this is not yet, and when we're talking attracted interest, real interest, there hasn't been yet, well, from according to that, hasn't been yet investment in those from the private sector, but they have attracted real interest. But you have other four, you know, where the business say, well, no, thank you. And maybe then for us here, it's asking question. Then you ask why. Why are business people actually looking at other four and say, no, thank you? Are they in bad shape? Is the infrastructure maybe crumbling, you know, deeply dated? Maybe are the lease agreement unattractive? Maybe the business proposal, what they're proposing, the lease agreement is not attractive. So that's what you, when you read this and then when you analyze, that's what comes to your mind. So the lack of private sector interest is perhaps the most honest review on the state of our green schemes. So when you think about, when you just analyze this, then all of a sudden the picture really changes. The ministry present a story of being a victim of bureaucracy. At the beginning, when you read, it's kind of like the ministry is presenting a story of being a victim of bureaucracy. But when you look closer, as we have, you see signs of poor planning, a lack of financial transparency, and a serious question about the fundamental viability of these projects. So because if they were really viable, the private sector would actually be interested in all of them. So why do I get you through this? Why you and I should be concerned about this? So maybe that's a question. Why you and I should be concerned about this? Well, this is not just about farming anyway. This is also about our, as we look, it has to do with our national strategy as well. So for many years, we have really put billion of Namibian dollar into these green schemes. Billions. Eh? And of course, with a noble goal. This is actually a noble goal of food sufficiency, of food security. But we have to ask a very tough question. Is the model working? Is this model working? Is this model working? Maybe we are trying to run this massive state control farm like something from the 1960s, while the world actually of agriculture has moved on. Yeah? As we hear, the reason why I'm saying that, it's when you listen to those green schemes, the complaint that they have, the reason why this is not in terms of the equipment, maybe it's things that we're using are things that are, we have moved, you know, from that kind of equipment. People now are using tech equipment, or the methodology, that the approach that we're still using is the same thing. The reason why I'm saying that is that even now when I do planting, I still wait for the rain to come. I haven't resorted yet to other method of planting. Maybe let me use my field only to do groundnuts, for example, or makunde, and then, you know, or at any time, or let, if I have water, to just focus on certain things. So It's still, that's why I'm saying, maybe the state control farm, the way we're managing is like still the 1960s, while actually the agriculture has moved on. Maybe we need to start to think about the alternative. And when I mean the alternative now, think of now this massive green schemes that, and they were pumped in billion and billion of dollars. And nothing, and we're not profiting from it. We're actually just wasting a lot of money. And I'm just thinking, why don't we think maybe differently? Let's think about the alternative. What if the hundreds of million now spent propping up these few large schemes each year were instead actually used differently? We use that money differently. Just think about it. So what if that money went into a widespread support for, well, you know, we have all these small and medium scale commercial farmers all over the country. You understand? Now, provide them with water infrastructure, because maybe these are the problem why they are not being able to produce food enough for the country. Eh? Have them, you know, with a financial access, give them a better financial access. Eh? Give them access to a better financing. Yeah. Training them. As I'm talking about that, I'm still actually waiting for the rain to actually plow my field. So what type of crops maybe now I should be able to use? If you have some livestock, same thing. Train them to a new way of farming. Rather than you spend all this money on something for years that hasn't worked. And maybe create some solid route to market for, as I said, for these small and medium scale commercial farmers. So would that create more jobs? Would that create more a resilient food security than the handful of giant state dependent projects? Probably it would. So what I'm trying to say, just let's think out of the box. And this is not an attack. Sorry, this is not an attack on the people who are working at the ministry. Not at all. I'm sure they are working hard. Eh? I think this is a critique of a system and a strategy that seemed to be failing year after year. And no matter who is in charge also. Eh? There was the state-owned company that failed, the ministry came itself, nothing changed. So, failed. Now the ministry is in charge and facing the same old problems. So it suggests the problem is the model itself, isn't it? It suggests that the model itself is the problem. So maybe we need... these are also ideas. You will come with your ideas as well. This, maybe we need a conversation, a national conversation about this. No more conversation behind closed doors in an office in winter, but out in the open, especially because this has national interest. So let's look at what we discussed so far. So just to give you a quick something, and then you can come through. So the Ministry of Agriculture says rigid rules, procurement rules, and late fundings are creeping the green schemes. So they are using emergency procurement to cope. And think of the things that we talked about if you go that route. So if you move away the check and balances, what are you opening up, you know? So a possibility that you can end up if you go that route. So we have challenged this by asking if the really issue is a lack of forward planning. So farming seasons are predictable. The need for emergency measures suggests a management problem, not just a systemic problem. So So, and the celebrated increase in maize production, it's meaningless without knowing the cost. So we need to know if these schemes are financially sustainable. Are they viable? Or just draining the taxpayers' money? So we are running a country, not a charity. So at one point, we have to put a stop on it. So the fact that investor only showed interest in 2 out of 6 scheme is a loud vote of no confidence in the current state of this national asset. So if they were, I mean, private sector would have been really showing interest, a real interest in all of them. So, and finally, the question for us maybe to debate is it time to rethink our entire green scheme strategy? So is it the time, really, given what how far we have gone and this hasn't lived up to what is expected, what was designed to achieve? Is it time that we rethink our green scheme strategy? So, and when you look at the story, this is not just a story about procurement laws. It's about our vision, a vision for food security and prosperous Namibia. That's the vision when this were designed. And it's a story that need more question, more transparency, and a lot more public debate. You and I should engage. Sure, the phone line, it's open now. So what do you think? So is the government right to blame the rules, you know, or should they be looking in the mirror? Because this is our rule. This is their own rules. So 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So you're welcome to come through and have your say or your comment on our first item on the show. Good morning.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear or favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kodaraje tatuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Okay, very good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio stations in the land. So our time is Our time is 2 minutes past the hour of 9. And we were looking at the article. The article is found in today's edition of The Villagers, an article by Nino Menavari Hangala. So the ministry, the Minister of Agriculture is actually basically saying, because of Procurement Act, because of the rigid rules, because of the tape, red tapes of the ministry of the government, late funding. So those are the things that actually crippling the green schemes. So, and now the ministry is actually using emergency procurement to cope, you know. And the counter argument then on that is that we challenge this by asking if the real issue is the lack of forward planning. So, and the farming season, as we said earlier on, is that it's predictable. You know, the need for emergency measures suggests a management problem. Yeah? So, and also, when we're talking about emergency, we're talking about actually abandoning or bypassing, you know, the check and balances that are there to make sure that, you know, you avoid corruption and also that you get the best price through the quotations and things like that. So, and also then in the article the ministry also celebrated an increase in maize productions, and I said when we look at that is that, you know, this is meaningless. Unless you have the cost, unless you have financial figures as well. So we need to know if these schemes are financially sustainable or maybe they're just draining us, the taxpayers, you know, they're just draining us. And as I said earlier on, we are not running a charity. This is not a charity that we pump money into it just year after years, billions of dollars, and nothing comes out. So is it viable? Eh? Is it financially sustainable? So, and, or is it just a strategy? Maybe the strategy that we used, it's not working. Maybe we need to look at a different way. We need to think of something else. Okay? So, and also the fact that investors only show interest in 2 out of 6 schemes is as I said, it's a loud vote for no confidence in the current state of these national assets. What does that tells you, definitely. And also the big question, as I said, for us is this the time to rethink our entire green scheme strategy. Maybe it's the time. And remember the example that I give, maybe with small and large scale farming, commercial farming, maybe that's where we need to pump money, because some maybe need equipment, some maybe need infrastructure, some maybe need training, some maybe need finance, you know. And if we do that, that would also help. That would increase production and secure food security. Okay? So, what do you think? Is it time to rethink our entire green scheme strategy? Or what is your take on this article? Because this is a very important, it's one of the priority strategies within our NDP 6. We somehow need to get it right. There should be a time when we need when we need to really discuss this and get it right, because we can't go on pumping into money in something that is not really making much of, that is not viable, okay? That is not financially viable. All right, our telephone number is 08333 66091. So you are welcome to come through. You can come through at any time now. And so when we come back, so we get into our next stories while we're waiting on you to come through.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafa, Sanana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tangongotisamwene. Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombito, Banawa, Orangika. Seithanina, Omeaguro, Nidanditoma, Yue, Yongashifa, Yokupira, Mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe 22 Meha, O Kakombanga Nena. Kara omkwashi pareki wimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, odarahe tatu imu. Datu, heari hamano tano, o niaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
A very good morning to you. Our time is 9 minutes past the hour of nine. This is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose on what is going on in business, agriculture, economics, and politics. So we go until the hour of 10 o'clock. So, and you're most welcome to come through on our first item, on our first story of the day. Good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good
morning, man. How are you?
Great, great.
Yeah, good to have you. So it's Monday morning, you know?
Yeah. You are talking about a green scheme.
Yes.
And you ask a very important question that are we sure this is not to go just wasting the resources that we have?
It has been years. It has been years, really. And there seems nothing coming out of this. Well, there are. The question is it, as I said earlier on, if I'm spending 100 million and I'm only getting a production of worth 80 million, then that's not financial viable. That's a loss. You're subsidizing a loss.
Okay, now the concept of subsidies that is being done or embraced by many developed economy when it comes to agricultural sectors.
Mm.
You know, if you look at what is happening in the rest of the world, when it comes to agriculture, they got heavy, or they are heavily subsidized.
Yeah.
Whereby the government decide and say, we have this project, this agricultural project. The total cost of running this project is 100 million a year.
Yeah.
That is the total cost of running that agricultural project.
Mm.
And the yield from this agricultural product at the current price in the market.
Yeah.
Let us say, at the current price in the market, what the output, the value of what they are going to produce is 70 million.
Yeah. Mm.
Remember, the total cost is 100 million.
Yeah. Mm.
But the value of what they will produce at the current market price is 70 million.
Yeah.
Then what those countries are doing, they will say, okay, is it not possible for us to subsidize this cost?
Mm.
Okay? And remember, the interesting thing that is happening in Europe is that when the government come and subsidize,
yeah,
they expect that project to run at a full capacity.
Yeah.
That is what they want. They say, this project has the capacity of producing this much.
Yeah, and it does produce that much. Yeah.
And it must produce that much.
Mm.
Then if that happened, then the government come in and say, okay, then we'll give you 40 or 50 millions.
Yeah.
To subsidize your cost.
Exactly.
So that when you subtract this 40, 50 million from the total cost, it will be like these guys we have 50 million, and if you take into account the value of what they produce,
yeah,
it would be 70 million, and indirectly we are saying they are making a profit of 20 million.
Exactly, yeah.
But the most important part, and this is, I think, what is missing in our formula, in the way we do our things, they only give subsidy to a project that is fully produced its full capacity.
Yeah.
You because what it seems like what is happening now, government is part of the project, and when you go and look at what is currently taking place on the ground,
mm,
it's not justifying the amount of money,
exactly,
government is putting in.
Exactly.
So for me, I think it's not an issue of government wasting resources. It's more of the people that are entrusted to run this institute or what this project, Green Scheme, they are not able, and we have tolerated them for too long.
Exactly. And but the fact that it's the government wasting is that there comes a, because if you are the one who giving money, there comes a time where you can say, no man, I can't just pump in money and there's nothing actually, you know, coming to the level that we want. So
yes,
it's a time to make a change. Either get rid of the people who are not actually performing, or come up with a different strategy that would help, you know, to produce what you want.
You know, the truth is, there are climate condition or situation where you don't have control.
Exactly. Those we understand. Yeah.
But there are situations here where we know that the people that are in charge, they are the ones failing.
Mm.
And why should we keep on retaining those people, individuals, that who are failing? Okay, remember we are living in a global world.
Yeah.
Where we have access to all the expertise in this world. Why can't we get the best in terms of running those infrastructure,
mm,
and employ them?
Yeah. Because the other issue is also then what you meant your scheme to produce, you're actually still buying from, you're still actually importing that in the country.
Yes.
So that means, you know, that your scheme is actually failing to fulfill what you want, you know, food security for that matter. So, but what you do, you're pumping money into this, but at the same time, you're also importing food, or the same produce that you're looking for, what the scheme should be able to produce.
Okay. And I think of recent, there was a report which indicates somebody who is running this scheme and say, we have a problem.
Yeah.
When a machine is broken, the process involved in repairing that machine, it's really, it's a long process.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a report like that.
Yeah, no, there was a report, and we even someone talking about it. Yeah. Mm.
Yes. So maybe it's not just about the people that are running the institution that are not able.
Yeah.
But it's also time to start thinking of how the processes,
mm,
that are there.
Exactly.
Yeah, because if you are telling me that if a tracker is broken today, you need to be authorized from somewhere and it will take weeks.
Yeah.
Then come on, this is agricultural sector. It's run on the season.
Mm.
So,
and this is the reason why the ministry now is coming up with this emergency procurement. So emergency procurement, because the Procurement Act, the rules of the Procurement Act are too slow because of the procurement, the procedures that you have to go through the procurement. It's too slow, it's too stiff, and the rain, it doesn't wait the time, you know, season for planting, it doesn't wait, you know, as you said, if a truck is broken, you know, the season, planting season, it doesn't wait for, you know, for the truck to be fixed. It, if it's a season, you know, that's when you start.
No, okay, now, listen, is it true that the same procurement, the procedure that we are using on other projects, it's also the same we are using when it comes to agricultural projects.
It's the same.
If that is what we are doing, then we are failing ourselves.
Yeah.
You cannot use procuring things in the office is the same method you are using when the tractor is broken. It does not make sense.
Mm.
So I think it needs to be interrogated. It's not just an issue of maybe pumping a lot of money there. Maybe we also need to look at the system put there. Maybe it's the one that is disadvantaged or making us not to be able to be very productive with those green schemes.
Yeah, exactly what the ministry is actually, the Minister of Agriculture, that's what he's actually saying. That's what makes us not being productive in some cases. Yeah.
But where have they been all these years? You are telling me that after 35 years of independence, so this is what you are talking after 35 years of independence. Come on, man. This thing's supposed to be addressed long time ago. By the way, Mike, I want you to do me a favor. This is your homework.
Yeah.
You know, I spent the 3 or 4 minutes talking to you now on the air.
Yeah.
I want to pay 10% of that cost.
All right.
Yes, off my call.
Yeah.
Remember, you provided me 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
Mm.
I want to pay part of that cost. So I want you to get me the total cost of the cost of per minute if I make a call in the specific program.
Okay. Yeah. Let me get your number.
Okay.
And where is my pen? And that's maybe something that I need to talk to our...
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. That's a very good one. Okay. So, your number?
081-625-63-63-02. Just imagine if able people who have the means are able to say, okay, I want to pay part of the cost of the time that I spend that you provided for me.
Mm.
That will help the business, the radio in some way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
No, thanks, man. We will be in touch with you. All right.
Great.
Okay, great.
Mm.
Mm. All right. Our telephone number, if you want to contribute, on what we have discussed so far, which is very interesting. This is a national debate, really. And please do come through with suggestions and with the way really looking at this seriously. Okay? A very good morning to you.
Yes, Dad Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, man. And yourself?
I'm all right, Dad Mike.
Mm.
Have a touch.
So there is a very good point that the previous
the punishment.
Yeah,
you know, Mike, we cannot learn our green scheme like the way we are learning our homesteads, cross finger farming.
Yeah,
it's not about to be happening like that. Because I'm telling you, we wait the land to come, and sometimes there's no land.
Yeah.
But with our green scheme, there's supposed to be a mechanism of even we do it without any dry season.
Mm.
Yeah, because now, remember, there's water available in this green scheme. The thing which was not there is only that they didn't put up like the way the green scheme is supposed to be.
Yeah.
How can I put it that the infrastructure or whatever you call it? It was not up to standards.
Mm.
Yeah, but seriously, the money with this bent farming, it will make you wonder why it's safe to be cross farming, cross finger farming.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's the money available with the money which we put in there, they're supposed to have what? Us to retain your income.
Mm, exactly.
But it's not happening. Because I think here, the ministers can say whatever, but things need to be changed.
Yeah.
We don't need to learn it the way it was. Then learn it be for 5 years or whatever, big time. We need to change. We need to come up with a new technology. Our ministers, every time they are traveling, man, they know what the South Africans are using.
Yeah.
And why should we learn in the what? In the 1960 method.
Mm.
If we can see the other country, what they are doing.
So, like, there's Kenya, there's what is it, agricultural tech. They actually involve in agricultural tech. That really improving their method of doing.
Yeah,
of
you can see even they're using the drone to do that.
Yeah.
But who are we? We cannot keep up with the world.
Yeah.
Seriously, I think here some people need to go.
I think that's the case. Sometimes when, as the previous caller mentioned, if it's the people, let's say for example, if the people that are actually on the green scheme that are not doing their job, this is so important. The green schemes are so important to our food security, you know? And otherwise, why are we spending so much importing food, certain food, even food that should be produced from this green scheme? So if the people on that green schemes are the one who are actually not doing their job, get rid of them, because that's very important. If it's a system, fix it. It's so many years.
Yeah, exactly. Because you cannot tell us that now they are learning it emergency, but you know that our learning come what time.
Yeah.
And I think I can blame it to the government when it comes to, because they are doing the same way. So if the tractor which are giving it to what? Constituents.
Mm.
They know that this tractor need to be services before the land come. And we know that our land always come either end of September, somewhere around November.
Yeah.
That's the time our government running up and down to service the trucks.
Yeah, that's why I said this is not where you need, this is not emergency. This is not where you need emergency.
That's right of that person who's doing that.
Yeah.
Because some people depend, you know, there are people who are just want to everything to fail. They are there to make things to fail. Those people, you need to get rid of them. Because you know what? Remember that some people are having shares.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about share, we are talking about the South African retailers.
Yeah.
And those South African retailers, they're having farm in their South African, and they know exactly those food things I needed here.
Mm.
Good example I can give you what, when Yondonga harvesting what? Potatoes,
yeah.
Did you see them, any retailer learning to them? Not at all. What was supposed to be done? They're supposed to block off the oncoming potato from South Africa.
Mm.
And then the retailer can be forced to go and buy.
Yeah, so that has to be also part of the policy that you create.
Exactly.
Yeah, so those are part of the. But if you give him that opportunity to get potato somewhere else, he may completely just ignore you and go where he thinks that is much cheaper. But if the country forces him to buy, you know, then
I'm telling you,
then there's no options.
I'm telling you, that's why they are doing it, like to service the trucks. In November when the land is landing already.
But this is also what the previous caller is saying. Okay, when it comes now to maybe to green schemes, the procurement process has to be different.
Exactly, so, yeah.
Because certain things can't wait.
No.
So certain things can't wait.
No. The policy can be the same because they manipulate the system if you allow them to have a loophole. You know what they can do? Yeah. A petty case is very, my friend, Mike, you cannot tell me we are having a board member for Eagle FM. Then, there you just learn how to fight, sugar. Do you need to call a meeting to have a tender for that sugar? It's what our government doing.
Yeah.
You don't need to there's a petty case which you can use, and then you keep that receipt as a proof of payment.
Yeah. So it's like now when a tractor now is broken and they have to go through the procedures, and sometimes now that procedure take months.
It's what I'm saying, because they have to advertise the tender. With just two tires.
Yeah.
Which need to be bought.
Yeah, and this is what the Ministry of Agriculture saying, that is too slow and is stiffing our production, our way of working.
Yeah, but there's a way where you can buy those, because you are the one who are involved.
Yeah.
Those tires. Then, in the board meeting, I have to present that receipt. There is, but there's a provision for them. But every time they are doing it, deliberately, because they know they are having their share in the retail of South Africa, and they don't want to compete with our green scheme.
Yeah.
That is a process. It's what they're doing. And that's what I'm saying. We have to get rid of those people. We cannot continue as a business as usual, as President said.
Yeah.
Because these people are doing it deliberately, because they know exactly our green scheme, if they come to full function, where they are producing and they're able to supply even the schools and hostels, the South Africans are not getting anything.
Mm.
Most of our money which we are spending in public, hostel and school.
Yeah.
We don't get any return at all. But this money is supposed to return to public.
Mm.
Where you are, if, let me know now, the green scheme are supplying this hostel, and the hostel are buying straight to that green scheme, that money is circulating in the country. It's not going to like where we are going to the retailer who is even supplying you in the bakery, like when it comes to bread.
Mm.
That's going straight to South Africa, because all the wheat and whatever is from South Africa. But just imagine if we are having our own, our bakery supplying our hostel. Let them say from Kavango now. We are from Kavango, and then we are having a what? Wundu Wundu, or what is it we call that green scheme?
Vugu Vugu.
Farming. And now we are also having a bakery where they can bag of flour, because the flour is come from the what? That farm. And now they are able to make bread to supply the hostel which are in the location.
Mm.
That money is not going anywhere. It's staying in Lundu. But now everything is from window. The trucks have to be driving from South Africa, come here, then the school are procuring from our dealers from South Africa, going. That money is just going in. Once it reaches Lundu, it's coming back to window, and window to South Africa. That is what is happening. And that's why we find ourselves never keep the money in the what? In our hands.
In the country. And in our pocket, yeah.
In our pocket.
And that's what the president is fighting, in terms of value addition and beneficiation and all that.
Telling you, it's needed. So, and it's our time also, really, to get right that those people who are not competent.
Yeah. But the thing is action. As I always said, there's nothing new completely. You know, when we hear all this, there's nothing new. There's nothing that is just, this is a new thing that we never had before. Those things we have had before.
When you are saying action, that's true. I'm also with you. Yeah. Because we've been talking for 35 years. We have all of the nice policy and whatever, but when it comes to implementation, nothing is happening in the ground.
Exactly. Mm.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike.
No, thank you for coming through.
Okay, cheers.
Great. A very good morning. So our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9. So about 28, 29 minutes still we have to go. And you're most welcome to come through at any time and have your say on either the very first item that we have on the show, and it's about this is a story. It's a story in today's edition of the Villager. about it's a story by Nino Menavali, Hangala. And it's about that national budget and procurement too rigid, you know, to fund green schemes. And so we have the Ministry of Agriculture, not the minister itself, but the Ministry of Agriculture, really saying, well, our own red tape, government, is the problem. And therefore we resort to emergency procurement because the process is too slow and too stiff to address, you know, farming matters at the time when they need it, when it's needed. But also then we look at that and said, yes, so that may be the case, but I think this is a whole question of planning failure. It's a failure of planning rather than actually the whole procurement thing. Because, as I said, this is something that we don't need emergency when it comes to, you know, planting seasons in Namibia. So do you, because you know exactly when the rain will come or whatever, you know, when you have to plant maize and when you have to plant wheat and all that. So maybe the issues is that, are we submitting, are we requesting our submitting it's our budget requests on time? Are we submitting that on time? Or maybe are the money released, the treasury is releasing money late? You know, so all those, if those are hurdles that are there, those are the ones that need actually to be dealt with, to be taken out with. So what my fear was that if you take away those processes which are actually put there to protect, to check and balance. And it's actually, these are designed to prevent corruption and also to, you know, to ensure we get the best prices when it comes to procurement. So then it becomes a problem, you know? So, yeah, so those are some of the issues that we have looked at. And also the government, then the ministry is blaming the Procurement Act. Where it says the rule designed to protect public money are getting in the way of their work. and that's where now we become skeptical. Then you ask, is the alternative now, which is to weaken the rule, would be the option, you know? So, and you and I definitely would not, you know, there's nobody who would think that should be the case. Yeah, so, and we're talking about productions. When you hear production, and this is issue that I always also talk about, issue they said the ministry is celebrating this big jump in maize production. And one, as is the 82 increase. So they said this 82 increase, and you have to ask from what, from how much you were producing. So those would be, you know, sometimes you need those information to understand really the total picture, the bigger picture. And the most important information that we're missing is actually the cost. So how much it cost us? How did it cost us, you know, the taxpayer, to produce that? Because they're referring in the articles about 15,000 tons. 15,430 metric tons of maize. So how much it costs us to produce that? And I give an example. And also the other caller also gave that. So if we spend 100 million to produce 80 million worth of maize, so we actually haven't made profit. Okay? A very good morning.
Yes, morning.
How are you?
Good.
You seem to have it good, man, because the sound of you is like someone at the, you know, at the beach. And you're just lying down and you're kind of like, you know, things are going well. Well, it's going well, man.
No. I'm listening to you, yeah. No, I wanted to know something about the green scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, their production, whom are they supplying to? Where are they, like now the maize meal, are they selling it into the market, to the processing companies or?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I'm following actually the article, but that, from my knowledge, I really, when now their production, where does it go? I'm not knowledgeable about. But it's a good question. Who do you supply? You know.
Yeah. So that's why they don't do on pressure. So they don't have market if they producing, for example, butternut. So where are they taking this one instead of the lower one that are they taking to the open market or the?
What about the AMTA? Shouldn't be they now supplying AMTA?
Yeah, but remember everybody is taking his product into AMTA.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is not a huge market that you can say I'm relying on that he will get him for me a customer.
Yeah.
So those are the things that if you look at in South Africa or look at Malawi and some part of Zimbabwe even in Zambia.
Yeah.
So they have their market in demand, which means people are on their neck.
Mm.
We need our things on time. And here in Namibia, we don't have such a thing. That's why we don't
Have South Africa as the main supplier.
Yeah.
Mm.
No. Those are the final product that are coming.
Yeah.
Not that we are supplying, South Africa supplying us with the fresh one. No.
Mm.
Yeah. So we needing also to, I don't know when are we going to tackling this thing, but that is what I'm worried that no matter how massive you're producing, if you don't have anybody who I need to be using that product of yours, you may end up not producing massive because it's just a sake of doing business as a project, a national project, for example.
Yeah.
But
it has no market. Yeah,
it has no market. That is another challenge which is Namibian farms have.
Mm.
So they needed to have people that they are in need. I look at even Mama's is also now processing in South Africa, which means they are buying fresh product in South Africa. So all the production, the companies that are producing things here in Namibia, they are taking their processing in South Africa. So even if you fish, if you want tomatoes, you have to go to South Africa and making a sauce of that one, and then you come putting in your product. So there is a lot of challenges when we are wasting our money on something that we know it will never be contributing any much into the nation.
And that's the biggest problem then, definitely. Mm.
Yeah. So I don't know about the economists when they're advising the president, as you are saying, the president is fighting for value addition.
Yeah.
Value addition, it have where it can be needed, but for example, if I look at the diamond, the people who are using diamond, they are using with the designer. That is the one that is adding more value to that. And you don't know them. So no matter how polishing your diamond shiny, the design is the one that is making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Or the one that is putting on the irons. Those who are making strong irons of Rick Chaniel and the others.
Who design that last thing that you put on the ring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the people that we need to know. Who are them?
Mm.
So, because, it's
not just to know them, but to have them as well.
Yeah, to have them, No, once you're starting knowing them, it's the way you're approaching them. Because in Namibia, we need more negotiators that we don't have in the table. So we have no much negotiators that they can bring us the people that is in need of the product. But we have only the middlemen which are coming to us and milking us, sucking our blood in to say, no, I'm not buying that thing for $200. I'm buying it for $8.
Yeah. You actually make me think of something where our diamond, for example, now our diamond goes to Belgium and India where it's polished, and then, you know, when it's polished and all that, then that's where now they start selling, you know, a finished product. Why don't we have an Indian company that do that in Namibia?
Because they are not the one that is using diamond.
Exactly.
They are just polishing.
Yeah.
So the shop is not in India. The shop is in Dubai. The shop is in New York
and others. So,
so they don't have a credit. If you ask them who are the, your credit, they will say, what we are just taking them on auction in Dubai, and then those ones they are buying it. So those are the type of things that, as I said, we need economists and negotiators that they can put in the country shining. Yeah, Namibia is one of those good country when it comes to trading, contribution on the World Trade Organization. They are contributing a lot.
Yeah, especially definitely.
For currency exchange, because we have a lot of foreigners from different countries, FDI from different countries, which are converting U.S. dollar into Namibian dollars. So it means every day we are changing more than $2 billion. So, but what are the development, how the country are developing out of this trading?
Exactly.
Is zero. So those are, let me not eat up time, but I'm just wanting to say, those green schemes, they are no party that can pressure them to say producing massive so that the price of the food can be go down. But if you are not supply this maize meal to Namibian mills so that they can putting price down to the South African product or maize meal from South Africa, it will not help, because the production of Namibian mills or the production of Bokomo is too small. It cannot accommodating the whole Namibian farm.
Exactly, yeah.
But if we are injecting the millions of dollars into Namibian meals, that we need every house to have a package of Namibian meals, or every house having a package of 20 kg of Bokomo, please producing that, which means it's come cheaper to the country. And everybody's now affording the food, food on their houses.
Yeah.
So those are the things that you need to also to comparing with the reflection, inflation, which is also killing millions of people because of the money that they are not earning. So there's a lot to discuss when it comes to that.
Exactly.
Government investing on something that is not producing.
Yeah.
It's not pressure. So even the CEO of the one who is running that, they know if we're putting money here, where are we going to sell this? Are we going to sell this maize meal to Zambia? Because Zambia is the one that is selling to South Africa.
Yeah.
So they will end up saying, no, we don't need maize meal here, because here we are just producing this for the South Africa, for the sake of the South African company. So there is a lot. But remember, when the product is available everywhere, is where the pricing comes down. And doesn't it say the country will not make money? It will make more money because every day people are buying. They are affording it.
It's more the volume rather than the price.
Yes.
Yeah.
So those are the things that they need to understand, especially the economists that we don't have in this country.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
No, thanks for your contribution, man.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, great. All right, our time is about, we still have about 14 minutes before we come to the end of Unpacking the Day today, this Monday morning. Please do come through. And there has been really, really very, very, very good contribution this morning when it comes to Green Scheme. Please do come. And if this is your area of expertise as well, come through and inform us. And shed lights also to what we're discussing. Add your viewpoint, your perspective on what we're discussing so far. So our telephone number, if you're just joining us, 08333 66091, 08333 66091. And we're coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio here in the great Oshana region. So, and good morning. And yes, you're most welcome. Good point that many of you have really, really put forward this morning. And something, if you know, those in position of authority are there listening, could also, you know, start to think, you know. All right. So while I'm waiting for you, I got someone coming through. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, family.
Bon dia. Como está?
Bom, obrigado. É para muitos problemas.
All the damn wind problem.
They're saying a man should always be esperança.
Esperança.
Yeah, not esperança living down, but esperança na vida.
Not living down, eh?
No. Esperança means like a man should live with hope in life.
Aha.
Yeah, one day your hope will come through.
Yeah, no, that's very true. That's very true. Without hope, nothing will come through. Yeah.
Esperança living now.
Yeah.
not living now, but yeah, esperança.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, the other day when I was calling me, I wanted for man to check this kind of you know, we have this mass housing in Ojomise.
Yeah.
So the mass housing, demand is like to say they must finalize on December. But you say something also, I sidelight with you. You say some names might lost on the paper.
Yeah.
And that's true because now this mass housing, when that system was created, people, I think it was 2017. Some location, their names, they were already threw out to go to say, okay, when this house was going to finish, you will go to Chomise.
Yeah.
Now, just think about in 10 years period, that's just, I think, took now 10 to 15 years. Now, in 10 years period, if I was, for example, I was maybe, 35 years old.
Yeah.
And I was working. And I was hoping to say, I'm gonna get a house there in the Chomise. But now, because the system take longer, now I'm almost like that, to 60 years old. So,
yeah.
How will I will cater? And if my name was already out. So, I'm just sitting, wondering now what, how
so,
do
so you are actually at the age where you may not be able to pay for the house, sometimes, because paying the house, it takes about 20 years or so.
Yes.
So now if you are 50 and, or you're 60 or 50 something, 55. So that means you only have about 5 years working.
Yes.
And, if you apply, if you then get, your application approved, you won't be able to afford the house.
Yes.
Any longer.
Not like you will apply because the name's already been out.
Yeah.
When that system was created.
When I'm now, saying I'm when it's about, approved, when it's approved yes, then.
Mm. Yes. The name already been approved, okay? Johnny is going to Chomise when that the house has finished.
Mm.
Now, because they take longer, I'm still in poverty. Now, how they will come up with the system to help these people, which are their name already been out to go to the Shomise, which are they were delaying it because of the system. So how they will cater now for those people? Because, you know, if you go to location, people are suffering up to date. They are really in trouble. So how they will come? Because the names in Shomise houses, their names are there. They must go to the system. That system already going to show like, okay, Johnny, Paulus, Maria, they go to Shomise. Their name already through. Now, is now this person is 60 years old. He never tried some, or he never enjoyed the benefit of his youth or his country. So how now the government will come to the system for these people, which are named or being out and they are already 60 years old, for them to get this benefit? It's not, that's what I'm fighting with, but that's what I want.
All right. No, well, we'll see if we can see if we can, because it makes sense. Let's see how we can get maybe the CEO or the spokesperson of the of NHG at one point.
You know, but because I'm thinking like this, man. If, for example, Johnny, his name was out, and this guy still in poverty, in these undeveloped locations. So let this guy go in, maybe saving kids, maybe saving family, you can pay for him. Let us try to come to stress less of these people, because now what I'm seeing in the newspaper, like 8,856 individuals, they are waiting for those houses. No, should not be like that. Let us go to the system. There, because if you jump to these people, what about those people who are getting old in the poverty? You know? I'm just having concern on that thing. I think they need to relook it there and go to the old system to see which names that we're in. And from there, they can maybe take on from there. Because our country is still small, we are still growing.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. No, thank you, man, for coming through.
Okay.
It's a Monday morning. We still have about 6 minutes before we come to the end of unpacking the day. So please do come through and have your, especially on our stories this morning. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, man, and yourself?
Good. So in your introduction, you mentioned that they have actually increased the production.
Yeah, the production of maize has increased, yeah.
Yes. And the people are asking, one of the economists was asking, where are they going to supply the surplus? So now, and you are still saying that people are still depending in South Africa for those agri-produce.
Yeah, because they're still actually import that are coming from South Africa,
And you are still asking yourself a question. If they are produced more, where are they going to sell? Yeah. Where are you selling? Where are you selling those things that you are getting from South Africa?
Yeah. So actually,
I'm just asking, following up a question with most of your colleagues, especially my brother who just was asking that question. And they're also mentioning about value addition.
Yeah.
So, how many products can you get from the maize?
They're quite a lot, I think.
And you can also integrate that economic activity from the maize. When people are talking about value addition, so they include all this supply chain, the logistical things, issues, and your main point on procurement. And they are saying that the government is actually saying the procurement is hindering us to move and perform.
No. Actually, the Ministry of Agriculture is actually saying that the procurement system is actually hindering us to produce. Yeah, because it's too slow and it's too stiff. So it's the Ministry of Agriculture.
So if the Ministry of Agriculture is saying that, because it's true, I understand, because what they are saying is that, for example, you remember the areas where they were saying that the Namibians, and that was the area that the reports that came from those international organizations, that Namibia does not have the capacity in water infrastructure, in all these other things, so and many, many other things. And the question today was posed by Mr. Shombe, that yes, do we collaborate now? If, say, for example, we are to go for those 240 million that's made available by the government, 1 million without any collateral security, and you are still telling me that yes, the ministry is actually finding it difficult, because even when we are in the system here and we are doing these procurement issues, most of us, our small business or whatever you call yourself. One, you don't even have a good outstanding. How much does it cost you to get a good outstanding from the Minister of Social Security? I'm just asking you, because you...
No, I don't know it by top of my head.
You don't know it top of your head.
No, I don't.
These are kind of simple things that you should have known. So if the ministry is saying these people are hindering us, it's because you might want to get the local people there, the Libyan or whoever. Are they organized? Their paper, just simple paper. Outstanding, BP, and what I was talking to my young ones. There were a lot of them. And they were discussing about accessing that 1 million. They have even extended it for you. I remember even when they extended, it's the same thing, when they extended the voting period, people were here, no, I was given a chance. After we were given a chance, I could hear it from you. You were even saying, no, they have denied our rights, that they might, you were saying so. After they have extended, you show a different a contradiction again. Let's be realistic. So if the ministry is saying so, it is because you are not coming forth. If they have increased the production in maize, what about the other area? We need you to educate us and create critical awareness where this young one can go and get those assistance. Thank you very much.
So you're welcome. All right, our time, it's about, 1 minute left. 1 minute left to just 59 minutes. Bingo. It's 10 o'clock, OptiCop, and that means that it's we're coming to the end of unpacking the day. And thank you for everyone who come through and really contributed to the discussion this morning. And as always said, everybody is welcome with whatever opinion they have. It's their opinion, so you're most welcome. So, and you are the one that make the program what it is. So this is Unpacking the Day, and I'm signing off until tomorrow morning. So from me, Michael Chevelli, I will leave you, and I don't leave you in despair, because I know that I leave you in the hands of someone who can be able to, you know, to take care of you even better than I do. So, and that Mr. Franz coming up with Kutha Mosha, and still remain, please remain tuned for our next program that is coming up with Tati France. So for me, Michael Chevelli, it's a goodbye for now. Until tomorrow.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa onjika. Tseithane na omayaguro ni randi thoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, onora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station.